Many organizations have, well, some would say they're data rich, and they have databases and file folders filled with information and data. Well, I shouldn't say information, they have data. We're making readings, we're making measurements, we're gathering insights all over the organization. Now, converting that into an estimate of the reliability performance of a product is converting that data into information. And the part of reliability engineering that deals with modeling and predictions often deals with, at first, really just finding the data that's salient or relevant for your particular product. Now, there's lots of different sources for that, and let's take a look at where some of those are. Now, there's different capabilities of the data sets that we have. I heard a long time ago that the best source of data for reliability is your customers, is allow your products to go to your customers and pay careful attention and collect the failures that they observe, which ones they report, and then do the root cause analysis of that. In an ideal world, we would be able to tell what the customer was thinking about a product and whether or not they were about to determine that it was a failure. Now, not all failures on the customer's point of view are result in a report or a return or a warranty expense. So it's a matter of how close to that ideal condition can we get with the data sets that we have available to us. All of the different ways we predict the reliability or measure the reliability of our product is on a scale, and this is just a set of placeholders for that scale. So at first, it's just an outright guess. You come up with a concept or your team presents an idea, and you're making an educated, or not even all that educated, but based on the group's engineering judgment and their previous knowledge, it's little more than just an outright guess. This configuration of components should provide the function and last long enough. And that's really just a guess. Now, we also use engineering judgment. We look at similar technologies on different markets, and we start to refine it from just, yeah, it'll work, to we have some evidence that we think this will work. I put parts count prediction pretty low in this set because those are notoriously inaccurate, and you can be off by orders of magnitude in your prediction. We'll talk more about parts count later. But the basic idea is that we can use some historical data and from industry gathered sources in order to make predictions. Another source that we often rely on is from our vendors, is gathering data from the suppliers of the components we're using to get an idea, and then in aggregate, how reliable the product is going to be. A better source is to understand the failure mechanisms that are salient in our product's path to failure, and understanding the interaction of the stresses on the rate at which that product would fail. That we call physics of failure modeling. And it's proven to be fairly accurate. So it gives us it is time consuming, and although we can use existing models whenever we can, it still is a pretty accurate way to go about estimating your product's reliability. We can do life testing on components, on subsystems, or on the entire system in some cases, and that provides us a step towards getting close to what the customer will see. Ideally, we get really good field data from the field, not just to ship it and never hear again, but sometimes we can gather information from the product itself, data loggers of some sort that gives us usage information, for example. And that can vary pretty dramatically from very vague or uncertain data from the field to very detailed information. And we can, in some cases, have some leeway in what and how that's gathered. But these are all various sources of gathering data so that we can understand the reliability performance of our products. Now, field data, it's a huge area. And there's everything from warranty returns and return products to customer complaints and call center data. I've even used in the past the how many spare parts were being used as being a surrogate for how many repairs were being conducted. The repairs data was all manually entered and was all in free text forms and was going to prove to be very time consuming to sort out and understand exactly what components were used for what repairs. But over time, we noticed that the ordering of spare parts was probably a good surrogate for how many actual failures of that component were occurring. We knew it wasn't perfect, but it was the best available data we had. But you can also work with your field representatives in a sampling basis, for example, or with distributors or dealers, and the types of issues that they see. It might be little more than survey data, but it does give you an insight as to what's going on with the product going in the field. Industry data is often difficult to make work for your particular circumstance. Now, in theory, this should work really, really well, as organizations have failures and report that this component and this application failed at this particular rate. And if we aggregate that information, then all of us benefit by having more accurate information about what works in what situations. Telcordia and other agencies regularly collect field data from as many sources they can possibly get to, but it's commonly limited because of trade secrets and liability type concerns, but also just the marketing concept of we don't want to talk about the failures that we have. So it's usually government-based information sources or military-based information sources. Telecommunication companies have some networks that gather this information. Avionics and aviation industry has some better data collection than others. But many industries have no specific information that comes from their particular industry. And so your mileage may vary with the use of industry available data. Now, there's also public data. NASA, for example, publishes reports, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and other NASA agencies and other government agencies regularly publish studies and evaluations and product and testing of different technologies and systems. And that may be a good source to find something similar to your product. GIDEP, and I've drawn a complete blank of what that stands for, but it's a repository of reported failures down to the component level. I remember years ago, we tried to get involved with that when I was working at Hewlett-Packard, but the lawyers stopped us because of the liability issues of us going in and saying, hey, this particular component from vendor XYZ is bad. It has this particular failure rate. And the lawyers' concerns were that it would put us in jeopardy of lawsuits for people saying that our claims were false. But if you're in an organization that is able to contribute to GIDEP the failure data that you collect, then you gain the benefit of having the data from all the other contributors available to you. So it's one of those deals where if you contribute, you can take from the database. From what I understand and everything I've seen, the data is actually pretty good, but it may not be available depending on your particular circumstance. One of the questions to ask as you're looking at the various sources of data that you currently use, is it good enough? Is it what you need in order to make decisions? And if it's not, what can you do to get better data? It may involve either a small amount of work to find it, or it may involve a significant amount of work to generate it. Next, we'll finally get into modeling with reliability block diagrams, which are a pretty common tool in reliability engineering.